Då tar jag säga välkomna till avsnitt nummer 88 av Sockerberoende, Sveriges kanske enda podcast om nordamerikansk fotboll. Jag heter Johan Dykhoff och i det här avsnittet har jag intervjuat Mikkel Göling som är en 22-årig dansk mittfältare som spelar collegefotboll med stor framgång för University of California Santa Barbara. Mikkel Göling föddes 19 december 2001 och kommer från Köpenhamn. Under sin ungdomskarriär spelade han för exempelvis Fremad Amager och Tornby innan han sommaren 2021 flyttade till USA för studier och collegefotbollsspel på Young Harris College i Young Harris, Georgia. Mikkel gjorde omedelbar succé på Young Harris College. Under sin första säsong var han lagets bästa målskytt med 14 mål på 20 matcher. Han fick pris som bästa freshman, alltså första års student i skolans conference, och han kom med i conferencens årets lag. Efter ytterligare en bra säsong 2022 valde Mikkel att lämna Young Harris College och flytta tvärs över landet till University of California Santa Barbara. UCSB, som skolan ofta kallas, har genom åren fostrat ett flertal spelare som har nått MLS, såsom Dan Kennedy, Chris Panius, Andy Iroh, Luis Silva och Nick DePew. Bytet av skola innebar också en flytt från Division 2 till Division 1 inom collegefotbollen för Mikkels del. Den gångna säsongen startade Mikkel lagets alla 20 matcher och han gjorde 4 mål och 3 assists. Även denna säsong kom han med i årets lag i skolans conference. Utöver spel på college har Mikkel spelat en säsong i USL League 2. Det gjorde han sommaren 2022 då han representerade den Cincinnati-baserade klubben Kingshammer FC. Då var han bland annat lagkamrat med en tidigare gäst i den här podden, nämligen mittbacken Carson Kendall som är A-landslagsman för amerikanska Jungfruöarna. Mikkel spelade varenda match för Kingshammer den säsongen som gick till slutspel, men där förlorade de i åttondelsfinalen mot Des Moines Menes. I den här intervjun pratar vi om hur Mikkel kom fram till beslutet att flytta till USA, tillvaron i den pyttelilla byn Young Harris i Georgia, vilka utmaningar man kan stöta på som student och collegefotbollsspelare i USA och vad han har för mål med sitt fortsatta fotbollsspelande. Good. I guess we can start off by can you just give us like a brief rundown of your youth soccer career in Denmark?
So I started my career in Fremad Amager, which is a Danish club. I was 6 years old when I started my career, and started just for the fun of the sport. Brought like a friend and then fell in love with the sport and played there up until I think I was 12 years old, where we took this step from playing, seven-man soccer? Is that what you call it? Yep. Up until 9 men, because that was around the change where they did that. And wanted to try to go to a place where the level was a little bit higher. And back in that time, AB Tornby, which is... It's still very close to Fremad Amager, but that was a club that kind of collected all the players from around that area where I lived in. So I moved there when I was 12, played there up until I was 17, second year of U17, I think. And then took a step back and went back to Fremad Amager, which at that time had like a collaboration with a club called Sundby. So I went back there, played my second year of U17s, and then at U19 they split up a little bit again and became two different clubs. So I came back to Fremad Amager, and then I played there from first year of U19s and up until my first year of senior. where I knew that I wanted to go to America. So I went to a club right across the road, you can say, B908, and played there for one season, preparing and getting ready to go to America after when summer came up. So
Okay, I see. And this is in the Copenhagen area, is that correct?
yeah, it's in the Copenhagen area.
Yeah.
It's called Amager. All the clubs are in Amager, which is like, yeah, in Copenhagen.
Yeah, okay. Did you play with and with or against anyone as a youth player in Denmark who is like famous or somewhat famous by now?
Yeah, I've played against a bunch of players. I've played against Mohamed Arami, if you know him. I think I played against him when I was young, and I played, so yeah, when I was like when you're young, they start to look in terms of youth national teams, and they bring in like a bunch of players from different clubs, and you come to like practices. And I was on playing on the same team as Anis Slimane. He plays in Sheffield United right now. And yeah, then I've played with a guy called Lucas Engel, who now plays in Middlesbrough, in England. And yeah, I've played against some players that are playing high level right now. So yeah.
Yeah, I see. How and when was this idea of studying and playing soccer in the United States born? Like how where did the idea come from, would you say?
So I had a friend. When I played in Framama, I had a friend that was contacted by this agency, and he was 1 year older than me. So I was kind of on the sideline of his whole process, and he told me about it and told me all the stuff that he was told about the place and his process of finding his club and stuff like that. And that drew me into it, and one day I was going home and talking a little bit with my parents about it, and they were like, oh, but if you really think that would be fun, like why not just looking into it? So I made my friend introduce me to the guy he was working with, and was invited in for a meeting, where they with my parents, where they told us what it would consist of when you went to America. They told us about like the whole positive and about like going to America, playing soccer at or football as you call it back home at a high level, while at the same time maintaining your educational path and staying on top of that. And since that meeting, I just fell in love with the idea of going over and pursuing my dream sport, and while at the same time also making sure that there was a solid plan B if that was to be used one day.
Yeah, okay. Did you have offers from like several schools? And if so, what made you choose Young Harris at first?
So in the process, in the beginning, I didn't really have that many offers from different schools. I had some, of course, but I spoke with my agent, and a lot of the struggle that are or was at that time was that the American coaches don't really know what levels of the Danish leagues that correspond to their levels in terms of college soccer. So I had some, but not a lot. And then Young Harris came up pretty quick actually, and described their program and what capability that school was, and made me make a choice, you know, pretty quick, or demanded an answer pretty quick. So I would say I didn't have a lot of offers, but I also committed to Young Harris pretty early and quickly.
Okay. And you moved there in the summer of 2021, is that correct?
Yeah,
Yeah.
correct.
How do you recall, let's say, like the first couple of weeks over there? Was it difficult settling in?
I mean, of course, the transition from the Danish culture to the American culture is or to another culture is always a little bit difficult, and with the language and stuff like that. But pretty quick, I was lucky to connect with a really, really good roommate. And the freshman group that came in, I found some good friends pretty quickly, which helped a lot. So it was not that difficult to kind of get into it because I had a really good solid foundation of friends. And we were connecting even before we came there. So that also helped a lot when you then arrived.
Yeah, of course. I looked at a map of where Young Harry's College is located, and it seemed like it's pretty much in the middle of nowhere. Is that like a correct assessment by me?
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing to do out there, but that also has its charm. So
Oh, and the closest big city is that Atlanta? Yeah. Did you go there every now and then?
some weekends when we had time, we went down there with friends from the school and had a fun time
Yeah.
downtown and saw that.
Yeah, it seems like a fun city. I would love to go there someday. So how would you like summarize your time at Young Harris College? Both on and off the pitch. I know you spent 2 years there, if I'm not mistaken. So how would you
One and a half,
one and a
one and a
half,
half,
yeah.
2 years, yeah.
So how would you like summarize your time there?
I would summarize my time as really great. We can start with on the field. On the field, my freshman year was really good. We had a very solid team. We went undefeated for what is it, 20 games, I think, up until we lost on PKs in the regional tournament. We won the conference. We won the conference championship tournament. So it was really great. I had a successful season. I was top scorer, had a lot of assists. So my first year was really great on the field. Second year we had a lot of seniors graduating from the previous year, which in college that's always something that plays a big role when you have a big shift. So second year was a little bit less like looking at the team aspect successful. But personal, I still scored some goals and contributed to winning some games and got awards. So yeah.
Like when you because I read about your freshman year and how successful you were. Did you feel like maybe, I'm too good for this level, or it was like what were your thoughts back then?
No, I don't feel like not at any point I felt like I was too good for this level. I knew that the team we had at Young Harris was a really good team. So it was more of a curiosity if my capabilities were good enough to then go to D1. I'm not really that type of person that thinks that I'm too good for something. It's more like a thing of like I just wanna see if I can then take the next step. And which at that point I thought was D1, and I think a lot of people think that the next step from D2 is D1. And that's probably also true, but something I also found was that just because teams are in D1 doesn't mean that they necessarily are better than the top teams in D2. So yeah.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the all-time best goal scorer of MLS only played D2 soccer, Chris Wondolowski. I think so. He played at Chico State, which is like a small, yeah, it's in California. If And I think he, yeah, I'm pretty sure he only played D2 soccer. That's pretty remarkable, actually. So, how did you arrive at the decision to leave Young Harris after 2 seasons?
Yeah, so after my first year, I was looking at what all the seniors graduating and stuff like that. And of course, with us not being as successful the second year as was the first year, the thoughts were kind of starting to build in my head where I was like, "Ooh, but is it like it would be fun to see if I then could take the next step or take a step up and get to maybe one of the best teams in D1 and see if my capabilities also are to play on that level, you can say it that way." And I mean, my goal has my whole life has always been to go professional. And even though there's not like necessarily a difference in level of teams from some teams from D2 to D1, there's a lot of different level in terms of exposure. A lot of focus from scouts and all that stuff are, of course, in D1 because that's the best league. So yeah, I took wanted to take that step to kind of get more exposure, and but at the same time also see if I was good enough to play on that level.
And what were your before actually committing to Santa Barbara and actually going there, like what impressions did you get of UCSB, and what did they offer you that felt sort of appealing enough to actually go there?
Yeah, so when I wanted to transfer, I talked to my agent, and the agency I'm working with, and they had really positive things to say about UCSB. Of course, it's a great location and California, it's a big school, it's the complete opposite of what I came from. And then you know, something that even before I started talking with the coaches was like my agent was like, yeah, they have a stadium that can house 17,000 people. They have this massive game where they play in front of 8,000 to 9,000 fans, the Blue Green rivalry. And it's a good program that have been successful before. So that was really the appealing aspects of it before I started to interact with like coaches and stuff like that.
Right. And would you say that you have you noticed any like big differences with UCSB being D1 and you coming from a D2 school? Are there any like, yeah, are there any big differences that you've noticed?
I mean, yeah, I mean it's the there is of course differences in D2 our games were live streamed on a website, and now it's streamed on ESPN Plus. There's a lot more money in D1. And then you know, like I also think I'm a special example in terms of I'm coming from a school that was, like you said, in the middle of nowhere. So coming to a school that's just D1, lots of money, like insane amount of students, a lot of different like sports teams and all that stuff is of course a very big difference.
So, what was this past season like for you personally and for the team as a whole?
So for me personally, the past season was okay, I would say. For me, like you know, there's a certain aspect of my evaluation of a season that goes into the individual and what I could have done. But a lot of things is also based on the team's performance. And unfortunately, we didn't perform to our expectations. The expectations of this program is to win conference and conference tournament and to get deep into the NCAAs and of course to win a national championship. So with us not being able to achieve any of that was of course like a sad part of it, and something that also makes the season be like seem a little bit worse. But I feel like I came in, and you can always say that you want to contribute more, but I feel like I contribute with a good amount. I was lucky enough and good enough to get the all team, all first team of the conference. So yeah, I mean, I would say it was an okay first season. For personally and team wise, it was of course disappointing.
Yeah. Okay. What about off the pitch? What has Santa Barbara been like so far?
It's been good. Obviously, right now it's bad weather, but the majority of the time the weather is really nice. Sun is shining. Beaches is right down the road, and yeah, everything is just. It's just different. Like, I mean, it's just a nice location, and you, I mean, I don't think you can say anything bad about Santa Barbara as a location, and as a college town. So yeah.
Can you define bad weather? Because today we had like 5 degrees Celsius, and I consider that good weather for this time of year. So.
No. Yeah. So yeah, bad weather is maybe also a wrong term to use, but it's raining and there's supposed to come a storm the
oh,
next
okay, yeah,
couple of days. So yeah, but cold? No, it's not cold.
No. Okay, but a storm, yeah, that qualifies as bad weather, I would say. So this past season was your third as a college player.
Yeah.
How many seasons of college soccer do you see yourself playing?
I only have one more left. So yeah, four.
Yeah.
One more.
So you don't have that extra year of like COVID eligibility then?
No, I came the year after.
Okay.
So yeah.
Oh, so you had to be in the college game in 2020 to get the extra year then, probably.
Yeah, that's at least my understanding of it.
Yeah.
Because that was the year where the season was not played or moved.
Yeah. What are, in your opinion, some of the like biggest differences between being a youth player in Denmark and a college player in the United States?
That's a good question. Some of the biggest differences that I have experienced is that over here it's a lot about being the athlete. It's a lot of like weight sessions and being quick, fast, and strong. Where back home, it's at least where I have been, they have been more focused on like understanding the game, and the tactical aspect of soccer or football. Yeah, I would say that's the biggest difference. And I mean, of course, there's a difference in the terms of like at my age, 22, you're not playing youth soccer anymore. Back home in Denmark, but you kind of still playing youth soccer over here because you don't play against the like senior players, if you can call it that.
Yeah, I remember back in 10, 12 years ago, there was a Swedish coach at New York Red Bulls in MLS, and I remember reading an interview with him where he said that he was a bit surprised that his MLS coaching colleagues, they in the draft, they put so much emphasis on the physical attributes of the players, whereas he looked more at like, well, as you mentioned, understanding the game and technical skills and so on. I don't know if it's the same, if it's still the same, because that's 10, 12 years ago now, but maybe in the college game still there is a lot of emphasis on physical attributes.
Yeah. At least from my perspective, that's still the case. And I also think that's closely like correlated with the fact that football is still a big thing, or is the biggest thing over here, where it is about like being strong, powerful, and quick.
Have there been any aspects of being a student athlete that you found to be like challenging and maybe unexpected, and maybe something you think people who are considering playing college soccer should be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I would recommend everyone to do this, that thinks about it. Because I think it's a great experience. It's very fun. But some challenges that I have met is of course the language barrier. Not maybe having to work a little bit extra and spend a little bit extra time on doing the homework, because you have to understand it. So yeah, maybe the language is something that I would give a good advice and be like, I would not say like don't be afraid of it, but expect that you maybe have to put a little bit extra work in to understand everything and do well in classes as well as an athlete. And then I mean the obvious and one is of course that there's a lot of load on student athletes. You always hear that you're dealing with almost two full-time jobs as a student athlete. You have your practice and then you have your school. And that load has also been a little bit of a surprise, more here than it was at Young Harris. Especially because of the quarter system, where everything is packed a little bit more tight here at UCSB. So yeah, that's maybe some of the struggles I've met, but I would still any day recommend people to travel and try it out.
You mentioned before that you played at least one season in USL League Two, right? Like, how many seasons have you actually played there?
Only one so far.
Only one, yeah. And that was in 2022, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about that experience? What that was like?
Yeah, so I played at a team in Cincinnati called King's Hammer. And when you talk about like I just talked about, when you play for your school, you're also in school. And you have to balance those two things. When you then get to summer, you get the feeling of being as close to a pro as possible. The only thing is soccer, and that's the only thing you're doing there. So you get the feeling of and trying out how it is to be a pro, to wake up, have practice, and then go back home, do your recovery, do your stress, go to the gym, and all that stuff without having any distractions from schoolwork or anything. So that's really nice, or that was really nice about it. Another aspect that I later have appreciated was the fact that you make friends across universities, because it's like USL League Two is a league where they kind of bring together a lot of college players, so you get a lot of or you connect with a lot of people from different schools. You hear about their experiences. And then it's even more fun when then the season starts and you can kind of follow how they're doing on their teams and kind of have a little fun about that. And if you're lucky to play each other at some point, have a little intern fight within the game. And yeah.
Do you know how they, as you mentioned, they are a Cincinnati-based team. Do you know how they found out about you, in the first place?
Yeah, so I think back after my first season, my coaches, of course, they coaches for the summer teams follow college seasons, but a lot of it is also about connections, and my coach had a lot of connections to coaches that were coaching summer teams, and at the same time, I don't know if I'm 100% correct here, but a lot of college coaches or assistant coaches are also sometimes coaches in the USL2 league over the summer. So of course that's something, but for my case, my first season, it was through like them knowing my coach and therefore following the game and talking to him and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned before that one of your teammates there was actually a former guest on this podcast, Carson Kendall. How do you remember him as a player and as a person?
Oh, he was a great person, and a good player. He was playing center back, and if I'm not 100% wrong, I think he was captain for our team too. So no, like a great player, physical, very strong, and then even a better individual, a better person.
I think he graduated last year, and I know that he is aspiring to play professional. I'm not sure how he's done so far, but I wish him all the best, of course.
Yeah.
For those who haven't seen you play, which is your preferred position, and what are, in your opinion, your best qualities as a player?
So my preferred position is the 8th or the 10th. And some of my best attributes. I'm a tall, physical, strong guy. So I'm good in the air. That's a really good strength I have. And then I would like to say I'm a calm player on the ball. I like to connect with people, and I like to pass the ball around. Yeah, so that's also a good thing. And yeah, it's like a combination of being physical and then at the same time also being a technical player, to the point where I like to combine and pass.
Yeah. Would you say that you are more or less the same player today as when you left Denmark, or have you like developed and changed your game much during your time in the United States?
I think I would of course say that I have developed and changed my game. It would be sad to sit here and say that after 3 years you haven't developed a single thing. So no, I would like to say I am, and I know I am a different player than I was when I left. And I'm even a different player now than I were back at my old school. Like when you leave Denmark and come over here and you playing on one team, you kind of adapt to their qualities and figure out where you can contribute there. And then when you get to another team, they are focusing a little bit on something different. And so yeah, I feel like every time I have changed, I have developed in a positive way. So I'm definitely not at the same spot as I were when I left Denmark. That's
Right,
for sure.
right. It happens like every now and then that players who go from the college game to the pro level like change positions. I know, for instance, that Minnesota United recently signed a player called Derek Dodison, who was a really good striker in college, but today he plays outside back. Would you be open to change positions if you are asked to?
Yeah. I mean, of course, yeah, I would love to play the position I desire the most. But to get into the pros, I would of course change position in terms of what would help the team. And I mean, of course, I also think that put a lot of emphasis on that. Of course, it's about the individual, but it's also a team sport. So if it benefits the team that I'm playing in another position, then I would of course change position.
Yeah. So if your coach told you tomorrow that, okay, you can no longer play center mid, but you can choose which position you play instead, which would you choose then?
Oof. That's a hard question. I would like if he came and told me I couldn't play center mid, I would ask him why, and then I would expect for him to have a really good reason of why I wouldn't play in there. No, but I don't even know. Like I would just play whatever he asked me to. But of course also with the question of why I was not good enough to play where I'm playing right now.
Right. I would assume my impression is that most center mids make decent center backs as well. It definitely helps to have the experience of playing center mid if when you play center back, and you're pretty tall as well, as you mentioned. So I have you played center back like in your youth?
Yeah, it's actually a little fun in terms of my positions and stuff like that, because when I started, I was playing a more defensive role in the midfield, and playing a little bit more as a center back, and then it changed up and I started playing as a striker for a little bit, with when I got older, and then since that time I have not really played as much of center back, but I have played it before, and I would say I can play it. So
I remember the head coach of Malmö, the Swedish Premier Division team. When he was still playing, he every now and then he was a defensive midfielder, but he did play center back every now and then. And I remember reading like a quote from him saying that it was so easy to play center back. Like he didn't really understand. Like, okay, well, anyone can do this basically. Playing outside back, however, that's a completely different story, because you have to run a whole lot more, and you have to also, I guess, in a sense, also cover. You have to think about what happens both in front of you and behind you, in a
Exactly.
completely different way.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And yeah, as you say, especially on the running aspect, you run way more as a midfielder or outside back end than you do as a center back.
Yeah, definitely. Like, would you say that when you're done with college, is your ambition to play professionally in North America then, or like what are your goals and ambitions after when you're done with college soccer?
Yeah, so my goals have always been to play professional, and it's not like I have a specific place that I want to play professionally. I just want to get into the system and play professionally, and of course the big goal, as of right now, is to be able to good enough to go into the MLS, and if that's not the case, then take a look and see what options that I then have, and if that's options in America or options in Europe or other places in the world, then that's fine with me.
I've had people on this podcast who went from the college level to playing professionally in the Faroe Islands. Would anything like that be of interest to you?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's yeah, on like just in the broad term, yeah, of course it would be something that I would look at and consider, and yeah.
It sounds like a pretty fun adventure, not weather-wise, but as an experience, it seems. Like, for instance, I had a Brazilian guy on this podcast, and he played 4 years of college soccer, or perhaps even five, and then signed for a team in the Faroe Islands. So that's quite a journey.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Speaking of MLS, like, would you say that you've become interested in American soccer during our time in the US? Like, do you follow MLS, for instance?
No, I don't follow it to the point where I'm watching a lot of games. I'm still watching mostly the Premier League, and if possible, and the time difference is fits it, then the Danish league back home. But of course, with star players and like Messi and all that whole squad joining, there has come a little bit more interest, but it's not like I'm turning on the TV and watching it every time there's a game.
Okay, I see. It's a fun league for sure. Like, speaking of Messi, tomorrow Miami will play Orlando, which means that Messi will be up against a Swedish center back. So
Oh.
that's going to be pretty cool. Robin Jansson, he played in AIK back in 2018, and then he moved to Orlando. So that's going to be exciting, for sure. I think Messi will have the upper hand, but I'm looking forward to see how Robin Jansson will do against him. Definitely.
Yeah.
Has it been like? Would you say overall, from your perspective, do you think has MLS gotten like a better reputation in Denmark in, let's say, in recent years?
Yeah. I mean, like it's still not the. Like it's still not the first league you would think about when you're talking soccer, and maybe not the third, fourth, and fifth either. But it's growing. Of course, it's growing together with the growth that it has over here. The bigger it gets in America, I'm 100% sure the rest of the world is also gonna start to hear more about it, and it has helped a lot that some players are starting to go to teams over here in America when they're, yeah, I mean, retired from, or kind of like on their last walk in terms of playing and stuff like that. So yeah, of course it has grown a lot since I was a little kid, but I still there's still space for growth. There for sure,
right? But I did notice, for instance, a player like Mikael Uhre, who now played for Philadelphia Union. I think wasn't he like the top scorer in Denmark before leaving for MLS. So,
yeah, he had a really good season in Brøndby. But
yeah,
and there is like more and more players that are also taking the step from the top Danish league to MLS. So yeah, it's definitely getting a little bit bigger.
Yeah, and I know St. Louis, that they recently signed a left back, Nicolas Dyr from Midtjylland, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he played for the under 21 national team not too long ago. So I hopefully that says something where MLS is going.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sådär ja, då tar vi och tackar Mikkel Göling för att han tog sig tid att ställa upp på den här intervjun, och vi önskar honom givetvis allt gott framöver. Förhoppningsvis får vi se honom spela professionellt i Nordamerika efter årets collegefotbollssäsong, eller om det kanske blir på Färöarna, vi får väl se. Tack så mycket för att ni har lyssnat på det här avsnittet. Ta hand om er så hörs vi igen i kommande avsnitt av Sockerberoende. Ha det fint, tja tja!